You're listening to Simply Grace, a collection of meaningful thoughts, ideas, and interpretations of the gospel we hope you will find inspiring and thought-provoking. Delivered from the foothills of the beautiful San Gabriel Mountains, Grace Lutheran Church in Upland, California, has been serving the community of faithful for more than 50 years and is headed by the Reverend Wesley Mankey. For more information, or if you would like to make a donation, please visit graceupland.org. And don't forget to subscribe to our podcast, Simply Grace.
The gospel this morning comes from St. John chapter 9. As he passed by, he saw a man blind from birth, and his disciples asked him, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he would be born blind?" Jesus answered, "It was neither that this man sinned, nor his parents, but it was so that the works of God might be displayed in him. We must work the works of him who sent me as long as it is day. Night is coming when no one can work. While I am in the world, I am the light of the world." When he had said this, he spat on the ground and made clay of the spittle and applied the clay to his eyes and said to him, "Go, wash in the pool Siloam," which means sent. So he went away and washed and came back seeing. Therefore the neighbors and those who previously saw him as a beggar were saying, "Is this not the one who used to sit and beg?" Others were saying, "This is he." Still others were saying, "No, but he is like him." He kept saying, "I am the one." So they were saying to him, "How then were your eyes opened?" He answered, "The man who is called Jesus made clay and anointed my eyes and said to me, 'Go to Siloam and wash.' So I went away and washed, and I received sight." They said to him, "Where is he?" He said, "I don't know." They brought to the Pharisees the man who was formerly blind. Now it was a Sabbath on the day when Jesus made the clay and opened his eyes. Then the Pharisees were also asking him again how he received his sight. And he said to them, "He applied clay to my eyes, and I washed, and I see." Therefore, some of the Pharisees were saying, "This man is not from God, because he does not keep the Sabbath." But others were saying, "How can a man who is a sinner perform such signs?" And there was a division among them. So they said to the blind man again, "What do you say about him, since he opened your eyes?" And he said, "He is a prophet." The Jews then did not believe it of him that he had been blind and had received sight, until they called the parents of the very one who had received the sight and questioned them, saying, "Is this your son who you say was born blind? Then how does he now see?" His parents answered them and said, "We know that this is our son and that he was born blind, but how he now sees, we do not know. Or who opened his eyes? We don't know. Ask him. He is of age." So the second time they called the man who had been blind and said to him, "Give glory to God. We know that this man is a sinner." He then said, "Whether he is a sinner or not, I don't know. But one thing I do know, I was blind and now I see." So they said to him, "What did he do to you? How did he open your eyes?" He answered them, "I told you already, and you didn't listen. Why do you want to hear it again? You do not want to become one of his disciples too, do you?" They reviled him and said, "You are his disciple, but we are disciples of Moses. We know that God has spoken to Moses, but as for this man, we do not know where he is from." The man answered and said to them, "Well, here is an amazing thing. that you do not know where he is from, and yet he opened my eyes. We know that God does not hear sinners, but if anyone is God-fearing and does his will, he hears him. Since the beginning of time, it has never been heard that anyone opened the eyes of a person born blind. If this man were not from God, he could do nothing. They answered him, "You were born entirely in sins, and you are teaching us?" So they put him out. Jesus said that they had put him out, and finding him, he said, "Do you believe in the Son of Man?" He answered, "Who is he, Lord, that I may believe in him?" Jesus said to him, "You have both seen him, and he is the one who is talking with you." And he said to him, "Lord, I believe." And he worshiped him. And Jesus said, "For judgment I came into the world, so that those who do not see may see, and those who see may become blind." Those of the Pharisees who were with him heard these things and said to him, "We are not blind too, are we?" Jesus said to them, "If you were blind, you would have no sin. But since you say, 'We see,' your sin remains." The Gospel of the Lord. Let us pray. Dear God, we come before you confessing that many of our hearts are heavy, concerned about our health and well-being. We might feel like the blind man, unable to see into the future and even the present moment to know exactly what is happening and what will happen. God, we ask that you would help us, that we would receive and allow you to work in our lives when we cannot, and help us to always open our hands to receive your gifts. Amen. So we have a few minutes to share a word, a sermon this morning. And what I want to say to you this morning is that as a Lutheran pastor, I think that we Lutherans have a problem. And our problem is that we are obsessed with talking about not working. We say over and over again that we cannot save ourselves by our work. And I want to talk about why do we say that and why is it a problem? Well, as you know, as of a couple days ago, a lot of people are out of work. And they say that one of the most terrible jobs that you can be fired from, not that the job is terrible, but getting fired from this job, it's the worst job that you want to be fired from, is actually people who work in the unemployment office. Because when you get fired from the unemployment office, the next day, you got to go back to work. Ba-bum, psh. All right. But seriously, why do we as Lutherans talk so much about the fact that we can't work? The reason is this. We believe that every single human being simply is not capable of doing everything perfectly. We are not perfect. And because we're not perfect, we make mistakes. Even deep down, no matter who you are, even people who are successful, people who seem to get it all right, they aren't. They are not perfect. They fail. And because we fail, we simply cannot follow all of God's laws perfectly. No matter how strong or brave you are, you can't do it. You can't earn your salvation. I mean, think about talking about salvation. Do you even remember? Can you even think of one person you know that works, for example, for the Salvation Army? It doesn't ring a bell, does it? Ding, 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 ding. Okay. But that's what we believe, that you can't earn your salvation. Think about our current situation with the coronavirus and the disease that it causes, COVID-19. One of the reasons why we're on such alert is because it doesn't matter who you are, you could catch that virus. Anyone, even really healthy people, could catch it. And part of the controversy is for those people who aren't taking it seriously, they might catch it, they might do okay, but then what's going to happen? They could spread it around even further, endangering other people's lives. And because the fact that this virus affects everyone, doesn't matter who you are, we see in the news, rich and famous people get it, poor people get it. It's a universal thing that affects every human being. It's the human condition. That can teach us and help us understand a little bit what our struggle is with sin. Just like anyone could catch the coronavirus, anyone and everyone is affected by sin. Here in where we live in Upland, California, all 40 million people in the state have been directed to stay at home by the governor. And the reason why is because we, at this moment, feel so powerless. But now, what's the consequence? As you know, as soon as all of these people stayed home, our economy really suffered. And almost overnight, just thousands of people lost their jobs. And we are struggling, and we will continue to struggle with this. I'm being real with you. I don't want to sugarcoat these things with you this morning. It's best to face them head on and know the truth. That being said, what hope do we have if there's nothing we can do to earn our salvation and to work? Well, what we do believe as Lutheran Christians is that we have a Savior in Jesus Christ, and that what He does saves us. It's His work, not our work, that saves us from our sin. Now, if you've grown up in church and you know a lot about Jesus, that's great. You know what I'm talking about. If you haven't heard a lot about Jesus, you might have asked yourself, how exactly did that person save so many people? We believe that he was born of a woman, Mary, the Blessed Virgin Mary, as some respect and call her. His father was God, and he had an earthly adopted father, Joseph. Jesus grew up. He was a powerful preacher and teacher. He healed people, and he was able to do miracles, like we read about this morning. But just as his ministry was really taking off, just as he was attracting large crowds, he was arrested, crucified, and died. And you see this morning we have a cross here. It's not normally in our home, even though this is a pastor's house, we normally don't have a huge cross. But this was made by one of our dear members at Grace Lutheran Church and refurbished by another dear member. And during this time of Lent, we remember Jesus' crucifixion on the cross. And people have asked, how does this man dying on a cross save people? Paul said that for many people it sounded like foolishness, and indeed was foolishness. Well, this is it, plain and simple. Jesus, who was God's Son, who was both human being and divine, took his life, took his very body, and gave it to us. And we remember that, in fact, the day before he was crucified, the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus Christ took bread, gave thanks, broke it, gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat, this is my body given for you." Again, after supper, he took the cup, passed it around. He said, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me and for the forgiveness of sin." And therefore, we believe that when Jesus shared his body with us on the cross, when we break bread and drink wine, and even when we don't break bread, for such a time as this when we can't be together, when we receive his word in faith, we receive the power of God to forgive our sins. The power of God to be stronger than the evil one. And the power of God to give us eternal life. So when Jesus died on the cross, he broke apart himself and he gave it to us as a gift to receive in faith. And that is how his work saves us and not our own. So what do we do about it? Especially for such a challenging time as this, where many people would like to work. Well, think about this. Our story this morning about the man who was born blind. Did you know that he actually had a job? I mentioned it with the children in the children's sermon. The man born blind had a job. Did you catch it? He was a beggar. That was his job. Every day he would stand out, and whatever came his way, he would receive it. And that is how he survived. And furthermore, Jesus, why did Jesus heal the blind man and not someone else? Was the man born blind more righteous? Did he earn it? No. He was just assuming the position of faith. God, give me whatever you can to heal and sustain me. We can learn from the man born blind what it means to be a person of faith. It might be sort of humbling to hear this, but it means being willing to beg, first and foremost to God, to lay down all of our strengths, all of our accolades, all of our trophies, as the old hymn says, at the foot of the cross, and like a beggar, to receive what God gives us. We are called during this unprecedented times to come to God and ask, and I would encourage you even to beg. We should beg God for wisdom each day. We should beg God for a vaccine. We should beg God to be with scientists. And scientists should beg God to enlighten their minds with creativity and solutions. We should beg God for captains of industry to crank up their ability to make testing kits. We should even beg our leaders to take care of those of us who are most at risk, who through no fault of their own lost their way to provide for themselves. Yes, sometimes, friends, we are called to beg. That is what being a person of faith is all about. We should beg God for new kinds of jobs that we haven't imagined. We should beg God first and foremost to forgive us where we have done wrong, and to give us eternal life. Let us pray. Dear God, we beg for your forgiveness. We beg for your mercy. We beg for a miracle and a solution during these difficult times. Amen.
We hope you enjoyed this weekly offering of Simply Grace. Make sure to subscribe to our podcast, and if you would like to help us in our effort to serve the community, please visit graceupland.org and click Give. Thank you for listening, and we hope you join us again.